Look in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'd like to begin reading in verse 31 and read down through verse 32. Just two verses of Scripture. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. I'd like to speak on the subject of roosting in the kingdom. Roosting in the kingdom. I'm not talking about a rooster in the kingdom. I'm talking about roosting on the kingdom. It's something like sleeping on the job. I think that might be another fitting title. It's the parable of the mustard seed that's been given here. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and verse 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as I stand before this, Your people, Lord, I pray that You would help me to deliver the word You've given to me. Give me clearness of mind in thinking about it. And Lord, I pray that the expressions that I use would not be offensive, but they might be clear. And Lord, that it might be given in such a way that it can be understood. And Lord, I know that Your Holy Spirit must deal with us in these matters. But Lord, I pray that You might cause us each one to understand what You're speaking about in this parable. Bless now, Father, today. Help us to be right and true before You. Bless our church and the affairs before us, and the things that we have that I didn't even mention this morning. But Lord, You know. And I trust, Lord, that we would follow Your leadership and be encouraged in the things that You have for us, that we might ever be looking forward to doing and to those things that You've given to us to do. Bless and keep us now. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. This parable is given in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. We've just read the one here in the book of Matthew. But we notice that Christ here is speaking to the Jews. And of course it's a given, kind of, because He was in Jerusalem at this point. He was preaching to believers. He was talking to people that are religious. And He has on His mind in this place to give them some good instructions about what the kingdom of heaven is all about. He talks about how that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed, just one grain, not two, three, four, five, or ten. But He says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this grain of mustard seed. Understand here, Jesus Christ is talking to Jews who are members of the nation of Israel. But He's not specifically here talking about the nation of Israel. The kingdom of heaven is greater than the nation of Israel. The kingdom of heaven involves more than just the nation of Israel. The kingdom of heaven is above all of that. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of Christ is one and the same. I know some folks divide it down, and that's okay with me. I don't mind them doing that at all. But I believe when I look at those three things in the Bible, they seem to be all one, that they are God in charge of everything. When you're thinking about the kingdom of God, you're thinking about four things. That is, the right of God to rule. You're thinking about the throne, the literal throne where He rules from. You're thinking about the people that God rules over. And you're thinking about, fourthly, the territory that He rules over. So you think about those four things and you immediately understand that God is in charge of everything, even the devil. God is in control of everything. Nothing happens that God doesn't know about, that He's not concerned about, and that He is not controlling the very least detail of it at the same time. Oh, that's going on. We as individuals have a responsibility to yield ourselves to whatever it is that God has in mind for us. Okay? We have that responsibility, so let's not leave that off at all. As I look at this parable, I see some events. I see some things. That is, that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed. The book of Mark says that it's the smallest of all seeds. Of course, the seeds that's sown in this type of way. But this seed, one seed, is placed in the ground. It's sown by a man. And the Bible states that this seed develops, it germinates, it grows. And it becomes the herb that it should be. But it does something more than that. It becomes a tree. The Bible said it becomes something that it's not set out to be. It becomes a tree. It is normally an herb. The tallest of these, according to what I can find, just gets about 10 feet high, which is about the height of this room. It's about as high as it'll get. You say, well, some trees are short. That's true. But this is not a tree. It's a mustard seed. It's an herb. It's a different kind of thing. And then, of course, we see that there's birds that come and lodge, that rest, that stay, that stop, that roost in the branches of the tree. And of course, you understand, if you've ever been around roosting birds, that they make a horrible mess. It is a stench, is really what it amounts to. Now, as we look at this, there's some blessings in this passage, and there's also some great warnings for us. You think about the desire that God has given to you. And I know that if you're a believer today, if you are saved by the grace of God, God has put it in your heart that you might be found faithful unto God and be true to God. And it burns in you to be right with God. I know sometimes that burning is greater than it is at other times. I know that sometimes we may get away from the things that we really ought to be involved in. But you're not comfortable when that happens. Am I right? You're not comfortable whenever you kind of back off from where you know you ought to be. You began to be discouraged about yourself. And you don't like the way you are. You want to be up there where you need to be. You know you need to be in the battle for God. Now there may be somebody here that says, well, you know, I don't want to be in the battle for God. What I want to do, I want to be in the background. I just want to show up every now and then. Well, I'm not that way. And God has given to me the desire to be in the forefront of the battle. I want to be doing what I need to be doing. God has given that to me and I'm thankful for it. But what I see in this passage is that the kingdom of heaven starts out as something that's very small. But it grows. And it grows and it grows. That is what we desire for ourselves. When I began I'm thinking back when I was a boy, and I'm very fortunate that the Lord saved me when I was just 12 years old. I'm very fortunate about that. But I remember being under conviction of sin, and at that point, all I knew was that I was lost and that I needed a Savior. I mean, I was to the place that I could not help myself. I needed help from the outside. My Sunday school teachers, they would tell me to trust in Jesus. The preacher would preach from the pulpit, you need to repent and believe in Christ. My parents told me you need to trust Christ. Well, I tried all that, and it seemed like it was so difficult to attain. But I was making a simple job hard. And when the Lord saved my soul, I understood that it was not what I did, it was what He did in me that made the difference. Because it was He giving me the faith to believe, not me trying to get enough of my own that I would believe. It was God giving me the faith. Then the Lord caused me to be scripturally baptized, and I became a member of Forest Hills Baptist Church in Benton, Arkansas at that point. The Lord dealt with me and moved in my life, calling me to preach and calling me to pastor and putting me in various places that I might accomplish that. The Lord is blessed in great mighty ways in taking care of my wife and myself and my family and giving me the family and the grandchildren and all that I have and the friends. He's done that. But what I see in that is how that all of that has grown. And I trust as I'm saying this that you're thinking about yourself and how God has blessed you. And He has blessed you. You know, we sing a song sometimes, Count Your Blessings. You ever do that? Or do you just suck them up and think, I want more? You do count your blessings. Good. But what I see in this parable is that there's more yet. What I see is that there's more. And there's more and better. It's not worse. Jesus, and you understand at this point that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is speaking to Jews who are in captivity in their own land. You understand that Jesus Christ is speaking to people, and they would remember their heritage. They would remember Abraham, who was called of Ur of the Chaldees. They would remember Sarah. They would remember the promised child Isaac and how Jacob came and his 12 sons. They would remember how that 70 souls went down into Egypt. They'd remember how that 600,000 men came out of Egypt. They would remember the times of the judges, how that there was blessings from God and then they would get away from God and go into captivity. And then how that they themselves asked for a king and God gave them a king. Because that's what they wanted. Not what God wanted for them, but it's what they wanted and God gave it to them. And they'd recount Saul and David, and they would recount how that Solomon came along. Then after Solomon, the divided kingdom, and they would understand, they would remember that in 722, the Israelites went into Assyrian captivity. They would remember that in 606, the Judahites went into Babylonian captivity. They would remember that 70 years later, they came out of captivity. They'd remember. Wow. They'd remember how that their forefathers had failed. They would take this lesson that Jesus Christ has given to them and they would hear this. And remember that the nation of Israel is one institution that's in the kingdom. Just as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is another institution that's in the kingdom. You understand that? But they would take this. They would take this message. And here's the people that Jesus Christ is talking to. And they are right at that present time under Roman domain. And Jesus would say to them, the kingdom is growing. There is hope here. There is blessings in store. for the faithful. And that's what I'm seeing. And you think about what Jesus Christ is telling these people. And you would look at me and you'd say, well now, but I know what happened to the Israelites. I know how that they killed Christ. And I know that in 70 A.D. Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem again and destroyed the temple and dispersed the Jews unto the four corners of this land. And now instead of 70 years, listen. Instead of the 40 years back in the period of the judges where they were in captivity and came back. Instead of the 70 years in the Babylonians and then they came back to their land. Listen, it was 2,000 years before the Jews, when they were dispersed in Titus, went back to the land of Canaan. It was 2,000 years. You say, I know that history. Yeah, I do too. But these people are not living in that. They're not living there. And the message this morning is concerning what God can do. It's concerning what God can do. What is it? What is it that God can do if we would get out of the way and let Him do it? What is it? Well, there's no limit. And you think about it. We're not a whole lot different than the Jews. We're people just like they are. We live and have our children. We have our families. We have a place to worship. Just like the Jews. We have a background. That's not very glorious, just like the Jews. But He's saying, there's hope. You need to do what God tells you to do. You remember how the Jews had developed synagogues? Who did that? God of the Jews. Did God tell the Israelites to make synagogues? Or did He tell them to build a temple? They were to build a temple to worship God in. That was God's way. But when they came out of captivity, that's the next thing they did, is build synagogues, because it seemed reasonable unto them to do. And you think about what's happened in churches today, and we believe in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's local. It's visible. This is one of them. But you know what's happened in this world today? Men have devised lots of other organizations. All I want you to do here is just compare us with the nation of Israel. Because the church, Lord Jesus Christ, is another institution that's under the umbrella of the kingdom. But today, just as the Jews, when they looked around them at their society, and they said, we're kind of locked in here. This is the political atmosphere. This is the way it is. So we today are kind of locked in sometimes. This is the political attitude of the day. And we can do nothing else. And Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God can grow. The kingdom can grow. And the churches can grow. The nation of Israel, listen, they were not locked in to defeat. A lot of people believe that they were. I don't think so. I think there's choices that we make that sometimes detrimental to our own spiritual well-being. The Israelites made some choices that were detrimental to their own well-being because they would not see things the way God wanted it to be done. They were seeing things through their background. Just as oftentimes we see things through our background and not the way that God says He wants it done. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe a little bit. Listen, everyone here has a background. And that's the background we're comfortable with. Whether that background is right or it's wrong. That's what we're comfortable with. But sometimes, we have to get out of our comfort zone. I guess I'm preaching this to me. Because sometimes we need to and do what God wants us to do. And it's a difficult proposition. You know what I'm talking about? Well, maybe some of you do. But I think some of you are just kind of looking at me hoping the time passes on. But there's opportunity here. We don't have to go down the road of the wicked. We don't have to do that. But it's possible that we will. We don't need to do that. The only way that we can see the blessings of God is to find out what they are and to do what God's Word says. That's the only way. No other way is going to work. Okay? Sometimes you face impossible odds. But God will bless. If you would, go back to the book of Genesis chapter 6. This passage in Genesis chapter 6 is talking about another institution that the Lord established. That is the institution of the home. And you know God established the home back in the Garden of Eden before sin came into the world. But it was perverted. It was perverted. Men did this of their own. It wasn't God's decree, but it was rather man's choice that did this. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, here's where the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men that they were fair, chose them wives of all which they chose. And I know some folks believe that's angels coming and cohabitating with women. I don't think that's what that is. I think that's children of God marrying lost people. I think that's what that is. That's my opinion. I know some folks believe the other way, and that's fine. But God has said, I'm going to destroy the world with water because of this. Okay? And that's what He did. The Bible says that He called Noah, and He said, Noah, in verse 8, the Bible said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He said, Noah, I want you to build this big ark. Give him the dimensions of it, and there are many stories in it, and I'm going to bring the animals in, you prepare all the food, you get all that stuff ready, and you're going to be on this ark. And that's what Noah did. I want you to see that Noah had a responsibility in his day to do what God told him to do, and that's exactly what he did. And we all think that's a great thing. I mean, it is a good thing. He did that by faith because it never rained before. And now it's going to rain and destroy the world. Wow, you know, that's a big rain. But the water also came up from the fountains of the deep that's under the ground as well. Noah's on that ark for a little bit over a year. He got off the ark. And in chapter 9 is, I think, where he got off the ark. And he established a covenant there when they got off the ark. And God gave the rainbow. So when you see the rainbow in the sky, you know what that's about. That's every time you see that rainbow, it comes along after the storm. And it's a promise. It's a token of a promise that God has given that He'll never, ever again destroy this world by water. He might destroy some local places, but never universally, never flood the world again with water. He will destroy it by fire, the Bible says. Notice this, though. In chapter 10 of Genesis, we find here a genealogy given of all the generations following Noah. Now, in Genesis chapter 5, there's a genealogy given up to Noah, and then after the flood, there's another genealogy given of those folks that got off the ark and their prodigy, and how that all of those families developed there. All right? In Genesis chapter 11, notice this place. Now, understand that we're still talking about the kingdom of God. We're still talking about the mustard seed. We're still talking about this growth. In verse 1, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. We're reading this because I want you to see that there needs to be a difference made, and we need to go the way God says and not the way of the world. That's what I want you to see in this. In verse 2, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east. Now, who was journeying? That's the question. I don't think verse 1 is in there for no reason at all. I don't think that chapter 11 follows chapter 10 for no reason at all. Chapter 10 gives all the generations of the people that were born and followed after they got off the ark. So all the earth was there. All the earth was there. We find here in verse 2, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick. Burn them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now here's the thing. Who did they ask? They asked one another. Not a good thing. I think it's good to get advice. The Bible states in many counselors there's wisdom. But let me tell you, counselors can be wrong. God is never wrong. We need to fix our hearts and minds that we're going to do what God says to do regardless of what the counselors say. We've got to follow what God said in His Word. And then when the counselors give advice according to what God's Word said, we can follow that. But we need to be careful that we use the Bible as a guide for our lives and not just what I think or what you think. Use the Bible alone. They consulted among themselves. And they decided to build this tower. What had God already stated? They said here in verse 4, let us build this tower whose top may reach unto heaven. I don't think they were going to make a tower so they could walk all the way to heaven. I don't think that at all. But they were going to make a tower that they could worship God in and be renowned in the world among themselves, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. What had God said about being scattered? God had already said back in Genesis chapter 1, I want you to be scattered throughout. I want you to fill this whole earth. And now they're saying, we don't want to do that. We want to stay together in our little wad. And what did God do? God said, well, you're going to be scattered anyway. And I'm going to do it in a very unique way. I'm just going to mess up your language. That way, you'll have to go with who you can understand. And that's what they did. And the Bible said they were scattered on the face of this earth. That's exactly what happened to them. This is what God said. You think about something else, about counselors and that. And in the book of Exodus, we find here that God had told the Israelites that they needed to be going into the promised land. And there were 12 spies, one from every tribe, that was sent to go out into the promised land to check it out. And you know the story? The spies came back with the evidence that it is indeed a good land. And here, you think about this. There were 10 of those spies that said it's a good land, it's just like God said, but the people of the land are big, they're mean, they're ugly, and we can't do it. 2 said, Joshua and Caleb, they said, that's right. They are big, they are mean, and they are ugly, but God can give it to us if we will step forward and do it. That's what he said. If you think about it, 10 gave one advice, 2 gave another advice, and the 10 were wrong and the 2 was right. Why? What made it? Is the majority always wrong? No. Is the minority always right? No. It's what God said that makes a difference. And here, when in this parable of the mustard seed, when Jesus Christ is speaking to those Jews, as a nation, they had not yet rejected Christ. And Christ is talking to those people. He's saying to them, there's great, great, great blessings available. You cannot number those things. You want to step out by faith and do it? Or you want to sit down on the seat and do nothing and do nothing? That's what he's saying. And so we say to you, what do you want to do in your life about serving the Lord and doing what God will tell you to do? What are you going to do? And here, and every one of us, listen, in this parable of the Sermon on the Mount, go back to Matthew chapter 13. Every one of us have these issues in our lives. We're facing these things every day. We have influences upon us that are bad and sometimes they're good. Every one of us has this. But every one of us is going to have to determine within ourselves, by God's own grace, we're going to do what God tells us to do, and I'm not going to be sleeping on the job. I'm not going to be roosting on the kingdom. Because here it is, we got this choice, and you lay it down. And I know some folks don't like choices, but I tell you, I know God is in charge. I know God said that His will is going to be done. I know that, but I also know that Joshua, a man of God, said to the Israelites, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. I know that's also true. And I know there's repercussions. But what are you going to do in your life? What are you going to do? Jesus Christ is presenting hope in a growing kingdom. I'm not talking about something getting bigger and bigger. I'm talking about something that's getting greater and greater within you. The kingdom of God begins in you, not somewhere else. You think about what would make a strong Israelite nation. What is it that would make a strong Israelite nation? It's when all the Israelites were strong in the faith of the Lord. It's not just they got 40 billion people. That's not it. And what makes a strong church? It's when the members are strong in the things of the Lord. And they have a dedication to the things of God. What is it that makes your family strong? It's not because dad's big and mean and ugly and whoops everybody. It's not that. It's because the principles of holiness are exhibited and exercised in that family. That's what makes it tick. That's what makes it worthwhile. That's what Jesus is saying. And you see in this place that when Jesus is speaking, oftentimes He's speaking publicly to a lot of people of different statuses in life. Some of those are leaders in the synagogue, and some of them are just the plain old common folks like you and me. They're just nobodies. But God is saying to them, you can have this great blessing if you'll just dedicate yourself to me and do what I'm telling you to do every day. You can have it. You can have the peace and the contentment. You can have all that. But if you look around at what's around you, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to be roosting in the kingdom. You're going to be asleep on the job. You're going to be saying, I can't do it. You're going to be actually, what you're going to be saying, it's not that you can't do it. You're actually saying God is not strong enough to overcome this obstacle. That's really what you're saying. Practical issues that we face today in the economy. I mean, it's tough. Jobs sometimes are getting kind of scarce. And we wonder if the unemployment numbers the government's given us is the right numbers. We really wonder about that. The fact is, God is well able to take care of us if we'll do what God tells us to do. You say, well, I don't see how. Good. Now you can learn to live by faith. So I don't want to live that way. I wonder why. I like to be comfortable, don't you? Sure. We want to know where the next meal's coming from. Not really. Not really. What I really like to know is where the next 80 or 90 meals are coming from. Right. Am I telling that right? Amen. Now come on. We're all in this thing together here. But Jesus said we need to ask Him for our daily bread, not our yearly bread. Is there anything wrong with planning? No. No. But we're trusting God for what's in front of us. Real practical thing. Attached to the defense bill is the hate crimes bill. That's how they got the thing through back before. Now it's attached again. Is it going through? Probably. Well, let me ask you. What are we going to say about homosexuality then? Are we going to quit saying anything? Are we going to quit preaching about abortion then? Are you going to come to this church then and say, I'm a member of Independence Baptist Church and I attend there and I believe that homosexuality is an abomination before God. Are you going to say that then? Are you going to say, it's too risky for me, it's not worth it to me? What are you going to do? I mean, that's practical stuff. That's everyday stuff. We're facing it. You see? The Israelites faced it. In the Tower of Babel, they faced it. Some of them succumbed. What are we going to do? Is right right? Is wrong wrong? Has it changed? No. I could tell you, I could stand here in this pulpit, or I could sit on that pew, and I could say 80 times a minute that I do not hate homosexuals. But the homosexual community will never hear me say that. Because when I say that homosexuality is wrong, what they are hearing me saying is that I hate homosexuals. You can mark that down. But I do not hate homosexuals. I do not hate those ladies that have aborted their babies. And I do not hate those men that have allowed it to happen. I do not hate the doctors that did it. But I do hate that act. And that has taken the life of that child. I mean, there's no doubt about it in my mind at all. But I don't hate them. But what they hear me say is a different thing. And I try to be kind. And I try to be generous. But here's the thing. Can God take care of us if it comes down to it? There it is. I mean, this is in the world. We think about economically. Can God take care of us? Listen, God is in the past. If we will see what God's will is and step out and do it, God will bless. I'd remind you of a couple things. I want to remind you of this. When I first came here 20 years ago, you had never had a full-time pastor. And at that point, I'm going to remind you again. I know it's a broken record. I'm going to tell you again. You desired, and it was God's will, that you have a full-time pastor. And you prayed about it. And you put me on full-time when you couldn't afford to do it. Am I telling that right? Hey, I'm telling it right. I was here. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm still here 20 years later full-time. That is no accident. That is no accident of all. God did that. I remind you of something else. Our church had a little fellowship hall. And when you go downstairs, the visitors, you go downstairs, you need to look at our fellowship hall. It's right here under this right here. You need to see it. Some of you may have already seen it. That was our fellowship hall right there. We had our meals there. And right over here on these steps was where the children sat. And the rest of us were packed in there like sardines and enjoying every minute of it. And we began to be burdened about a fellowship hall so we could have meetings. And the Lord blessed. Did He not? When we started that fellowship hall, did we have the money to finish it? Say, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. But it was God's determination that it be done. And God blessed in that thing. And it was paid for. Like, I don't know what it was now, 2 years or something. What am I saying here? I'm saying that if we determine that we're going to empty our minds of what this world is doing, and if we will dedicate ourselves to what God is wanting us to do, that we will not be roosting on the kingdom, but that we're going to be living in the kingdom. We're going to be alive. We're going to be portraying those things that God has for us. And here, it's so important. I'm not talking about just our church, but that's a big part of it to me because I'm pastor here. And I see my own faults. I see my own failures, and I hate it. I despise it. And I see sometimes how that I don't do what I need to do, and I don't like that. But I'm not talking just about our church. I'm talking about you as an individual. I'm talking about you as a family. And how that God is saying to you, He'll bless your home. He'll bless you economically. Even if you have less than you used to have. When I was pastoring down in the state of Louisiana, a fellow down there was a deacon in the church. And he told me, he was an old guy. He lived through the Depression. I mean, he was working during the Depression. The Great Depression. And he said of all of the people in the community around him, he was the only one. He was the only one that worked every day. He's the only one. And you know what? He didn't even have a car. Didn't have the gas to put in it anyway. But what he did, he packed his little brown bag lunch. And he went to work. And he said it's hard work. And it didn't pay very much, but it was work. And he prayed that God would give him a day's work. And when he ate his little lunch at lunch, he thanked God for his lunch and he prayed, God, give me work. And God blessed him with work. I mean, God, and he recognized that years and years later, that it was not him. It was not his skills. Because anybody can go out and cut down a tree or trim land away. Anybody can do that. It don't take a lot of smarts. But he says, God gave me that. Who gets the glory? Well, the Lord does. Who can touch your family? Who can touch those little children? Listen, it's got to be God that's doing that. But this is what this is about. Don't be roosting. You're just making a mess. You're just going to be making a mess. Either, there's either or. You're going to be blessed or you're going to be making a mess. Just serve the Lord. I heard that thing kick off, but I think I was pretty much done. He puts his finger over that cassette so I don't hear it when it kicks off. But I was pretty much done. I saw the clock as well. But let me say this before I close. Hey, listen, today, listen, if you're lost, you're sitting there, and whether you're young or whether you're old, you're lost. Let me tell you, there's hope in Christ. You've come into this world not by your own choice. You were born into the family that you live in not by your own choice. But you have that heart within you and it's beating. And you're breathing in God's air, breathing it out. And you know within you there's a life that's an eternal life. And it shall never, ever, ever pass away. And you know that you're going to either one or two places. When you die, you're going to go to be with the Lord or you're going to hell. Listen, that's either way. That's it. And I say unto you, Jesus said, as He looks upon you and He has compassion upon you, listen, Jesus Christ, He came and He didn't have to come, but He came and He suffered the agonies of living down here in this earth and He suffered the agonies of death. He took upon Him our sins and He says unto you, if you come to Me, I'll take you to heaven with Me. That's what He said to the thief on the cross. And the thief on the cross was never baptized. He never went to one church service as far as I know. I mean, maybe He did sometime. I don't know. But as far as I can tell, the only good thing He ever did, the only good thing He ever did was when He turned to that other thief and said, we're just the same way, but we're guilty. And then He turned to Christ and said, remember Me when you come into the kingdom. That's all I can see that He did good. But tell you what, He trusted the Lord. Listen, if you're lost, I'm telling you there's hope in Christ. There's life-changing things in Christ. You don't have to be filled with bitterness. You don't have to be filled with agony. You don't have to be filled with dread or any of that. Listen, this life that God has given you to live can be a great, profitable life for you, for your family, for your church, for your country, for your community. You just put Jesus first. Just put Jesus first. Listen, it is my earnest prayer for you. I desire that you pray for me about it. You know, I've been saved most of my life, but I'm not there yet. I mean, I'm not like I need to be. I mean, I'm saved. I know it. I don't have any doubt about that. I'm thankful for it. But let me tell you, I need to stay firm where God wants me to be. And I ask that you pray for me that I might be what I need to be. But if you're lost, trust the Lord. If you're saved and you're not where you need to be, boy, today, I pray that God will put on your heart that you would say with Joshua, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I pray God will put that burden on you to do that and forget this world and do what God says to do. May God help us each one. Let's stand if you would, Brother Brian, if you would. Let's stand if we sing. Pray that God will bless us today in this message. We sing this song. If you desire to come at this point, talk to me. I'd be glad to talk with you. I'd be glad to pray with you. Other people will too. But we sing this song just to give you an opportunity. If you need to make a public statement, make it now. But if you desire to talk to me first, that's fine. Oh, don't mind that at all, or someone else. That'll be good. But just do what God wants you to do. That's what it all boils down to. Just obey what the Lord is telling you to do. Okay, Brother Brian.